Jackalope Radio production. Join us in the chat at www.parachallengeradio.com, or you can go to jackaloperadio.com in the shows area and click on the Parachallenged Radio banner. Don't miss the fun every Tuesday night right here on Jackalope Radio. And now, your host into the wild world of the beyond, PC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Parachallenged Radio. It's Tuesday again, and Kathy Bartz is out this week, and I'm filling in, and I have my lovely co-host, Anita Brown, with me.
Hello.
We're glad you all could join us this evening, and Kathy will be back next week. She had some of that known business to take care of, and we also want to welcome to the show the man with the perfect face from the radio, Todd Sheets.
Thanks a lot.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing all right.
All right. Everything going good on your end of the town?
Say it one more time for me, bud. You cut out on me.
Oh, no. Oh. It says everything going good on your end of town.
Oh, yeah. Everything's rocking over here. Everything's ready to roll.
Right. Like I said, everybody, we're glad you joined us tonight. We've got a very special guest with us tonight, psychic medium Scotty Rourke. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So how's everything going with you?
It's just the beginning of the season. You know, I always call it the season. And if you think about it, Gettysburg and phenomenology is usually the kickoff to the ghost hunting season. And that's where I'm going next week. But yes, it's start of the season and a lot of events planned. And we'll talk about a lot of that tonight. But yeah, I just, you know, you end up in November and then you take a couple months off and then here you go. So it's going to get busy. So
yeah, we need more events out there. Needs to be more stuff for people to do. I kind of know stuff, like a little slack in them last year. I don't know what was going on. I guess it might be with the economy or whatever.
People are broke.
Yeah.
Last year was really down even from the year before. So, I mean, we've seen that a lot. And then this year seems to be picking up a little bit. And then it's the birth of the mini events this year, too. So those are kind of neat, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Those are very cool. Those are really actually, Anita went to one last week with a Patrick Burns was there and a few other people, and she said that was very good because it's more of an intimate setting, and you had got that whole chaotic thing going on where you got 30 or 40 people trying to do EVP sessions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really good. And the way they did it, everybody stayed together in one group. So there were, you know, you didn't have five people in this room and four people over here and then 20 people down in the basement and everything cross-contaminating. You didn't have that issue, and it was really awesome.
That's, you know, that is neat. I mean, a lot of times you go into these events. I mean, I went to an event last year in Pensacola, and when I was there, we actually had group sizes of over 60 people. It was huge, but what was really neat about the group is that they were there to investigate, and they were there to, you know, have the fun and learn and that type of stuff. So we didn't have, you know, the tourists, as I call them, the ones that just come in and try to get scared. They were actually there, you know, they were actually there for a reason. And, you know, they wanted to investigate, they wanted to learn. And we had a heck of a lot of stuff happen to us during the event. So, I mean, it was amazing. It was so funny. We're hearing these, like, bangings. And I, of course, as a second medium, I don't go into a site knowing anything about it until, you know, I get my impressions. And so I'm hearing these, like, noises, like banging, like jail cells, and we're in a theater, and I'm like going, this was a jail, wasn't it? And everybody in my group goes, yeah, duh. And everybody goes, oh, wait, you're the psychic. I'm like going, yeah, guys, I don't know the stuff, so when I say it, let me know if I'm right.
There you go.
I said, please, you know.
We hear a lot of different stories about how people have become psychic. Some people, you know, they say they're born with a gift, and, you know, we hear of people that's been in accidents or something traumatic's happened in their life, and then they've been touched after that. When did you realize you had this gift?
It's been kind of weird on how it is, and I didn't put it all together till about 5 or 6 years ago, and then I actually started using the term medium. When I realized everything that I did, and I never knew what a medium was most of my life, you know, I wasn't in a family. I was in a very Catholic family that supported me all through it, but they just didn't understand me. They didn't understand what I was doing. When I was a kid, I saw spirits when I was a kid. I used to sit in my bedroom at night, and down the hallway, these spirits would come down the hallway and come into my room, and they would sit on my bed, and we would talk in the evening time. And it was normal for me. I thought everybody did this. You know, I thought people come in and talk to you at night. I'm like, hey, that's normal. It's not normal, especially I'm a little older. I'm in my 40s, mid-40s. And so in the late 60s, it wasn't cool to tell people that you talk to ghosts.
No.
You know, it was not the time or place to do it. So I ended up getting a ton of ridicule. So I then changed my MO on how I talked about them, because I also saw them. You know, I could see, and they all looked whiter to me. I mean, they looked like normal people, you know. Spirit looks just like us, but they were, you can see they're just a little whiter. You know, they're not the same color as us. So I ended up calling them bakers. And I would tell everybody that the bakers would come down my room at night and talk to me. And that actually made it freaking worse. So,
yeah.
It did. It was like, I thought it was being funny, you know, getting my comedy shoes on. And nope, it actually ended up driving me more crazy with it. So I ended up not, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want to talk to you. And I stopped talking to them until I went to college.
Yeah.
And then when I went to college, I was in a theater program. I have a degree in radio, TV, film, and theater. And I was in a theater program, and one afternoon I'm going up to the prop room upstairs, and I walk into the prop room, open the door, and there's a lady standing right in front of me, all the way down, except for I couldn't see her feet and shoes. She had an old dress on. I still see the picture in my mind. I mean, I just know this image.
Yeah.
And I saw it, and I screamed, and I ran down the hallway.
And when you see stuff like that, it's amazing how it embeds into your mind. And every time you can think of it, you can just absolutely just see it right there as if it just happened. It don't matter how many years ago it was. It's always just there.
It always will be there. And this definitely was. I mean, then all of a sudden, as the kids are running out of the classroom, the teachers are all wondering why someone is screaming during the middle of the day. I came to him and I said, I just saw a ghost. And then I just realized what I said. I was like, damn it, I said it again. So in college, then I went, oh, crap, I can do it. But the cool thing about college then was the girls thought it was cool.
Yeah. because it was definitely a chick magnet, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Because now we're from late, you know, from the late 70s. Now we're in the early 80s. So a 10-year jump here, you know. And so the girls thought it was cool. So I was like, so then all the girls would go, hey, you want to come in and do Ouija boards and do, you know, then it just went from there. And it's been here since. But then I didn't really consider myself a medium. I just knew I could hear and speak to ghosts and that type of stuff. Still didn't know the term until I did an interview with Derek Acora. He used to be on Most Haunted. He's from England. And he was the medium on that show when it first started. And we had him on the show, and I was talking to him, and he goes, Scott, and I love how he goes, Scotty. You know, he's got that English accent. I love the English accent when they say Scotty. And he said to me, he goes, you know you can speak to spirit more than most people. I said, I can? He goes, yeah. He says, you know it, and you and your spirit guide will be stronger than me and my spirit guide someday. And I said, yeah, right. So he's been on my show 3 times, and we're going to have him on again. But
oh, cool.
He's been so right through my progression here. Since I started calling myself a medium, so
that's very cool.
It took him kicking me in the shorts to really realize what I had. You know, I mean, I was doing investigations in '93. You know, so I mean, I've been in it for a while, but I just never called myself that. You know,
yeah. When you start accepting that, though, did it start coming in more clear to you, or anything, or has it kind of always been the same? Or
no, but definitely came in more clear. And the toughest part of this whole thing is the amount of doubt that you have to play, you know, in this field. And in the problem is there's so many people out there trying to, I guess for lack of a better word, debunk me. You know what I mean? That I started trying to debunk myself, because, you know, I don't, as a medium myself, I don't claim everything is haunted, and I don't claim that everything is spirit. You know, if it's a noise that the furnace made, it's a noise that the furnace made, you know. But the amount of doubt that really is in anyone's mind, or, you know, when you're trying to start this or accept this, you know, It's taken that's the toughest part of this whole thing. It's taken me, like, you can really do this. You can really hear this. You've always been able to hear this. Now just accept it and do it.
And yeah.
That's a huge problem. I've noticed that with myself. I am nowhere near a medium, but there are certain things that I am more sensitive to that I experience sometimes. It's not controlled or anything. But the biggest thing that I had to get over with even being able to talk about that like I am now was fear of people thinking I was crazy.
Right.
And self-doubt. You know, is that really what I thought it was? It's very difficult to get past that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. It's difficult all the time. You know, and I always give a lot of credit to my spirit guide. My spirit guide's name is Steve. And without Steve, I wouldn't be here, you know. So, and I just pass the messages on. That's the other thing about me is that's the other toughest part is, especially when you're first learning, is not to say, look, I did this, I did this, I did this. You didn't do really nothing, Scott. You are here just channeling through or letting the spirit talk through you, and you give the message. And don't filter it. That's the biggest thing. I try not to filter my thoughts. I'm just going to give you whatever I get. And sometimes people don't like it, but you know, it is something that just comes to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you just kind of got to think of how the skeptics think. I mean, when I saw the first time I've had a paranormal experience, I was very young. And it's, I guess the whole time I've grown up, I've just always kind of believed in this. So I can't really think through their point of view and all that. But it's, you know, even going on investigations today, I do major debunking, which drives Anita crazy sometimes. But
what I'm going to say is good. I don't mind that you do that. I think that definitely has a place in this field.
Yeah,
yes, and it definitely does.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because some people are getting, you know, EMF sickness and stuff like that off of electrical systems and all that. But it's, you know, it's also when you go in there in that frame of mind, what these people don't realize when they're debunking, sometimes when they hit a wall like that where they can't debunk anything else, they actually just prove the case.
Right. That's true. That's true.
I don't have a problem with debunking. I just think that proof of the debunking, or whatever you want to call it, has to be just as strenuously gone over and proven as if you were going to present proof of unexplainable phenomena. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, that's a good way to put it. Where I get into the biggest problem and I get with people is when they don't really have an argument and they just go, just because. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? Seriously? Is that your argument to me that this couldn't be? You know? And the other thing, you know, I had Ben Hansen on my show last night and he brought up a good point. You know, just because something is can be recreated doesn't necessarily mean that it's not paranormal.
Yes.
Right. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Because, yep. I mean, you could have the exact same, you know, we've been talking a lot about this lately, about how some people can be environmentally sensitive and how, you know, perfect situations come up, like, you know, there's a perfect amount of EMF in the air or something like that, or the, you know, gravitational pull of the moon could be at the certain way and, you know, make all the stuff perfect, and that experience can come right through again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and, you know, just because you can move a chair with a string doesn't mean that a spirit didn't move that chair when you were in that room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what gets to me. And what gets to me is the ones that are, I guess, the cynics who just won't believe. But if you look at a cynic, and I think one of my theories on cynics is the fact that they are either really fundamental Christian or they're the true atheists that just don't believe. But they, if something happened to them, if my reading or if I went into a house with them and I got touched and they got touched, if that happened to them, they would have to change the whole way that they believe and they live their life. You know what I mean? They cannot just say, oh, I just got touched by a ghost, when they never believed in the ghost. So they will try anything to prove that wasn't a ghost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they'll just completely throw everything out the window. And you're right with the and that's one of the things we get in this field a lot. Is we just have so many people from such diverse religious backgrounds and everything, so they're all going to have their way of going about it. When you know we've got the whole people that's comes in there, they do nothing but debunk, and then we hear nothing spiritual. Everything's got a rhyme or reason to it, you know. And then you hear people that's 100% spiritual, that you know that something could be easily written off, and it's, you know, that's still what the field hadn't found, is that happy medium there. You know, where you're doing both and letting both intertwine together, because if you're not looking into that, then you're never going to really find any answers to anything.
I always tell everyone I'm the happy medium.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, it's funny because I was talking with one of the guys I investigate with, Joe Kudo. He's very skeptical. I mean, he goes by the skeptical ghost hunter, you know. He's one that will try to debunk everything away. And when I joined the group, they took me to a theater that I didn't know anything about, just knew it was a theater. And I had to go in, and they watched everything and jotted everything down I said all night long. And by the end of the night, they couldn't believe all the crap I hit, you know. We were in the theater, and I said, this was in here, this was divided. I see different rooms, and those ended up being apartments up there. It wasn't the loft that it was. Mm-hmm. And I said, there's a secret stairway. And I kept saying, there's a stairway that people used to go down that no one knows of. And we went looking, and sure enough, we found it. And they've investigated the theater 5-6 times before me and never saw the stairway.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, this is a chocolate. This used to be a chocolate shop. They go, how do you know that? I said, it smells chocolate. And it was a candy shop for years. And then I said, there was another business in the basement, and the stairs used to go here. And yes, there was. There was a restaurant that was in the basement under the theater. So after the first night, they went, huh, you know. But it's, you know, but for skeptical people, it took a lot for them to go. And they kept asking me, you never researched this? I said, I didn't know where we're going until tonight. You mm-hmm. know, I'm like going, so don't, you know, and why would I? Because I said, what fun is that? I mean, I like to have fun in this field. It's not all about me just proving my abilities, you know what I mean? I enjoy this just as much as anyone else. I enjoy the communication with spirit. I enjoy going out ghost hunting. I enjoy being in the dark. I enjoy trying to, you know, do this too. So why would I want to ruin what I do just because, you know? And unfortunately, there are people out there that are frauds, you know, and they are, and they make a bad name for the rest of us, and that just drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not a ghost, I'm going to say it. And if it's not the evidence, I'm going to say it. You know, I'm just like everybody else. If I hear that the furnace turned on, then it's the furnace that turned on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to be that way, you know, because I always say the only thing that I really have in my life is my integrity. And once I lose that, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there's always somebody waiting there to tear that down, you know, when it's... Yeah, that's the bad part about the field. There's always somebody ready to tear something down, but there's also somebody there that's, you know, ready to defend something that can be rolled off just tooth and nail.
Right.
And it's, you know, if everybody could work together, they'd be a lot more accomplished, and everybody'd have a lot more fun, and, you know, a lot more people would be helped out.
Right.
You know, if these people could work together on some of these cases, that's, you know, there'll be 20 teams in an area in a family that needs somebody to come in and help them, for example, and all the people there in the area can't stand each other.
True.
They're in competition with each other, and it's, you know, the people who suffer, they can't get together and have events, they can't have fun, have little things where they get together and have fundraisers and actually do stuff that's constructive. It's everybody's mad at each other and competing with each other, and you've got some teams that do good together and all that, but for the most part, you see a lot of people that are, you know, pitting themselves against each other, and that's, you know, that's kind of sad to see, and it's, you know, not making it where we can't really advance forward, and it's, you know, it'd be nice to see if people could work together a little bit more and get along their areas and get some good events going on.
Yeah, see, where the problem comes in is the fact that most people are so territorial, and their evidence is all theirs, instead of sharing evidence and saying, now, can you go get the same voice? Now, I enjoy, and ever since I've been last 6 years out investigating, you know, thoroughly and all the time, you know, I am with one group, I'm with two groups, I think, you know, kind of permanently, but otherwise I spend a lot of time going group to group, and I love it. it is so much more fun for me to get to know more people and have more fun and go different places instead of going to that same location over and over and over and over again. You know, and you've been there like 7,000 times, but this is our location, and you can't get in here. You know, it's like, really? Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, there's a little too much of that going on.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it is so much more fun, you know, being able to investigate a lot of different places, you know. I know that when I did Children of the Grave 2 with the Booth Brothers, I was down with Hillary and her team, and that was the first time I met them. And their team was awesome. I mean, I had so much fun with them that day, and I felt just like a part of the group from the moment I walked in there. But
Hillary's great.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, I mean, and the other point of the whole Children of the Grave movie was the fact that they did the same thing with me. They didn't let me know where I was investigating. I didn't know the group I was going with, you know, at first. And then they told me, be in Ohio, and then here's the address, and come up here and stay a mile away until you're ready. And then as soon as I got out of the car, they turned the cameras on, and away we went. And you guys are going to have to see the movie.
Wow.
And I don't even know if it made it, but I know it has to make it. Some of the evidence that we caught in that building was incredible. I know Keith H. said he's never seen anything like that before in his life either. So, and it was in the room I picked. You know, I mean, out of what, 100 rooms in this building, my impressions came, and I said this room and this room, and sure enough, we got stuff in both rooms. You know, so.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see the building. I've only seen photos and talked with Hillary about it, and it just looks and sounds absolutely amazing. And when Hillary started telling me about how the place was in danger of being torn down, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since we've been there,
building's amazing.
Yep, since we've been there, even a portion of it has fallen down since we filmed there and kind of where we were.
Right.
So, I mean, the building in itself, it was, when we walked up the stairs for the first time and I saw where the middle section of the building collapsed, and there's even a dresser hanging on a precipice sitting there, just the dresser hanging still there. You can see where it fell, and nobody's going to go out there and push it over, you know. So it is an amazing building. They had a lot of spirits there, a lot of sad stories, though, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And in the movie, we only got to two, so...
Well, for the listeners, the building is called the Knox County Infirmary, and if you guys want to look it up, there's a Facebook page, and you can also talk to Hillary Scales. She is working on a project along with Nick and Deb Lance, and they are trying to save that building. So if anybody out there wants to help out, get with her. And she's going to be on the show, I believe, at a later date. We're not exactly sure when yet, but to talk about all that, too.
Yeah, this is a good chance for everybody to come together and do something good, and this is an awesome place. If you get a chance to check it out, go check it out, and if you get a chance to get up there and help, please get up there and help, because it's a really amazing building. It's a big chunk of history up there.
Yep.
Yes.
And I definitely like the owner of the building. He owns the golf course, and he said I could come up and go golfing, so I'm happy. So I told Hillary I'm coming up just to go golfing, and then maybe we'll go ghost hunting too. So
you can also visit the website savethenox.org.
All right,
KNOX.
Yeah, it was a great building, and I was so glad that Hillary and the Booth Brothers let me come aboard and do my stuff there. And it was fun because I know Hillary and I were sitting out in the parking lot, and we're sitting out in the car, and I kept going to her. I go, this used to look like this, and this used to look like this, and this was like this. And she goes, yes, yes, yes. So, okay, just so I know. And then she went to get the picture to show me what it looked like, and she goes, hey, you know it's right on. And she couldn't find it. And so that was kind of cool, too. So we knew Spirit was kind of playing with us that night. So,
mm-hmm. And when you go into buildings like that that's got so much history and so much activity, when do you start getting a feeling that something's there, something's trying to communicate with you? Is it when you pull into the driveway, or is it kind of when you're heading out to them, or
both? You know, it depends on the site. I mean, some places I go to, I feel stuff the night before,
mm-hmm.
you know, but a lot of times it's right as I'm pulling up or coming close. As soon as I get out of that car, it just floods. I always call it like my barber pole. I call it, mm-hmm. I have a barber pole on the other side. And so spirits know that I can hear them, so they come running to me. You know, it's kind of like if you were, you know, if you were at a convention with all deaf people and you say, hello, and somebody turns, you know you're going to go over and talk to that person because they can hear you. That's the same thing. That's the same thing what spirit does for mediums and people that are sensitive. They understand that. They understand that that person can hear them. So they want to come up and be heard. So they come running at you. And sometimes too much, but.
Now, during the time that you said you'd stop talking to them, did they respect that, or did they continue to approach you?
Yes, they did. They stopped. They stopped completely. And, and that was cool and bad, because, you know, I do have some regrets, and I wish I was in the era now, because I wouldn't have stopped. You know what I mean?
Right.
But back then, I definitely stopped. I mean, and I always wonder how much more I could have done, or how much more I could, you know, accomplished in the time. But then maybe then it wasn't right either, you know, because I really don't believe in coincidence. I believe that I believe that we all have certain paths, and I believe that free will is our biggest choice, and, you know, and I chose not to. So, you know, I still wonder what could be, but I'm happy where I am now, and I'm happy that I'm still learning, and I'm happy that I'm helping people now, and that's the fun thing.
Right.
No, that's really awesome.
What was that?
You just took the words right out of my mind. I was just going to tell you, don't have regrets, because everything happens for a reason, and you were right at where you're supposed to be now.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with you on that, and I know the journeys that I'm on, and I know the friends that I meet, and I know when I come on radio shows and meet with you guys, you know, we'll see each other down the road, and we'll become friends, and that's all part of it for me. And I that's what I use everything that I do, is because I'm in it for the friendships and the investigating and trying to get the answers, and then really to help people, because a lot of times and okay, can I get on my soapbox? You know,
get on up there.
All right, I'm gonna get on up here. I go. The one thing I think that's missing in the paranormal field right now is the fact that the groups that do not help the homeowners. And I think that is the portion where I can be of the biggest assistance coming up, you know, trying to change this. Because if you send a group in, you know, with all their cameras and all their stuff without a medium, and, you know, they catch something on there, oh, yeah, you have a ghost in your house. Yeah, that's why I called you. You know, who is it? We don't know. Is it bad? I don't know. Is it a male voice? Yeah, we caught a male voice on tape. Okay. So it's a male. It's a male ghost. Yeah, but that's what we thought. Oh, okay. So what did you do for that homeowner other than spend all night and eat their Doritos?
Nothing. You
know? Nothing.
Well, a lot of times I will say that it goes back to the doubt and the self-doubt that we were talking about earlier. A lot of clients that I've dealt with were grateful just to have someone come in and confirm that no, that was not your pipes rattling or your imagination, that something is in fact going on here, and we've captured the voice that you hear at night, or it's validation,
right?
It does definitely give them that,
right? I mean, I agree with that. I mean, but you're validating that they have a spirit. But how does that homeowner now deal with the fact that there really is a ghost in their house?
Right.
What if they don't stop?
They need to give them that further advice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or they need to work with that spirit to tell that spirit to stop, and, you know, work with that spirit to make sure they understand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we use a medium on our team, and Angel Garcia, he's awesome. And, you know, if you go out and you're doing EVP work and you've got a medium with you and you get a little girl's voice coming through, and then you get the medium says, I feel the presence of a girl here, she's so-and-so and so-and-so age, and then you get that on the when you're doing the EVP session, you've just backed up both people's case there. You've got scientific and spiritual evidence there that something's there, and you can get to the root of the stuff so much quicker.
Correct.
And it's, you know, so I'm, you know, with you 100% on that. I mean, it's, you know, that's the way it should be.
Yep. And another thing that the mediums do, and I know I do, is I'm actually one of the tech guys, you know, and I go around setting up cameras. in places where I feel spirit, you know? So it's like, how many times? Well, we did the Congress Theater, okay? And we're the only second group to ever get in there. I was with the Chicago, with Dave and group out of Chicago. We went to the Congress, mm-hmm. and only Ghost Hunters were in there. And I didn't see the episode first because, you know, I didn't want to. Everybody else did. I went, okay, I'm going to do it. But I had the manager and one of the owners of the building take me around and say, what happened in this room? What happened in this room? What happened in this room? You know, mm-hmm. and I gave them everything in all the rooms. And in some rooms I go, nothing, 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 nothing. In some rooms I go, this, you know. And then one thing I got where I wasn't supposed to get was something that happened recently that is supposed to be secret and nobody's supposed to know it, and they didn't understand how I knew it. I was like, because you forget I talked to the other side. And they go, oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, they came in, you know, after we were done, they said we got way more stuff than Taps did. And mm-hmm. it's just because we knew where the most activity was happening that night.
Yeah.
You know, and another example of that, my co-host on my radio show, Zita Ost, her and I were investigating together. And Zita's been one of the, I have to give her the props on this. Zita's been one of the people that has helped me with my mediumship since I've been coming out. And she's been one of the ones that really has helped me out, you know, and so I'm trying to do that for others, you know, like I'm trying to work with Hillary. I got a couple other people that I'm working with because I want to pay that back, you know, mm-hmm. because she's really spent a lot of time with me in my mediumship. And I want to give a shout out to JoJo also in the chat room right now. She works on my show too. So she's been wonderful in helping me through all this too. And it's nice to have these people that are there as supporters and as friends, mm-hmm. and you help them and they help you, you know, and that's what I said. That's what it's all about. And then mm-hmm. now my job is to pay that forward because they've done that with me and gotten me mm-hmm. where I am. Now I got to pay it forward and help them if they need it or help others. And I think that's what we all have to do.
Yeah, but absolutely.
So there's my shout out to those two. But you know, a lot of the stuff that we were, when we were investigating, her and I would find stuff too. We were at Bobby Mackey's together, and we're upstairs in where Carl's room was, and rest in peace, Carl. He just passed away. If you guys didn't know that, his room up there where he got possessed, and we're up in the room, and what we look for, and a medium can help this with any group, is the fact that we're using a video obelisk from the Ghost Adventure crew. They let us use that night. The video obelisk. We were using my dowsing rods. We were doing an EVP session. We had video cameras. We had night vision. You know, so we had all this going on at once. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody pull the back of my leg. You know, my pant leg. I felt it pulled. We got responses in my mind on the dowsing rods, on the obelisk, and on EVP. Now, that's awesome. When you could put that many pieces together of one incident, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, how can you debunk that? You know, you had mm-hmm. all these different pieces match. So that's the type of stuff that you need to be looking for with a medium. Now, I'm going to get back on my soapbox about mediums, is I don't think a medium should be the center of attention of an investigation either. I don't think that. I think they need to be used as a part of the investigation to help it along, to really work with it. But it's not all based around mediums either.
Right.
You know, you need to find the evidence. You need to find the EVPs. You need to get this stuff on film. But you mm-hmm. got to use it. You got to use the medium to help you get it. See,
yeah.
That's where the difference is.
Then and you back each other up on it.
Right. Right. You know, and then you also have to trust the medium that the fact that they're not going in and knowing this stuff beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, how can you prove that it's that person anyway? You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you have to talk with the spirit anyway. So,
yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize too is when you're pressed for time. Say if you're going on an investigation that's a couple hours away, and you're only going to stay there for one night, and you know you get out there late in the afternoon, and you're trying to be as efficient as you can with your investigation. You know, you got your medium with you. They can tell you where the activity is springing from, what's going on there, and you can really save a lot of time and energy by going to the things that you need to be focusing on and just pushing the rest of it aside and really getting a more efficient investigation out of that too.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And we always like to say that I'm a tool, but yeah, actually I am. You want to, you know, if you're out investigating, everybody's got their big vest or their tool belts where they carry everything. Put a medium in there too, because because that is a part. If you leave an investigation without a medium, it's just like leaving without your voice recorder, or your thermometer, your EMF meter. You know, whatever you missed, you're missing a part of your investigation. You can't get all the evidence. You can't get all the. Can't get as much activity without knowing where everything is, you know, and so I'm sorry to be on a soapbox on that, but I mean, I just find teams that bring dogs on before mediums kind of gets me mad, you know. You really need to take a dog to an investigation, but not a medium, seriously.
And then they'll say that a building is haunted because the dog won't go down the slippery basement stairs.
Right. Yeah.
We're just saying.
We're stabbing people now.
Yes, we're kind of, but it's true. I mean, I'd be like,
oh yeah.
But it's like, why don't you want to use everything at your disposal? You know, use everything that you have, and the medium's part of it. You know, and I don't. You know, I know there was a show on once that did all mediums, and I was like, I didn't like it too much. I was like, yeah, you could be saying that. And I know, and I know I'm the same one. You know, I know I could be saying that, but what backs that up? Where are you getting the validation from it? You know, having a historian with you that knows all the history and you're hitting it, boom, 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 then you know you're on the right path.
Yeah. Well, that's what cracks me up about this stuff is that, you know, somebody will go out and spend $4,000 on a thermal imaging camera or something like that, or, you know, get a $300 RTVP recorders or something to spend this high, get the high dollar stuff, and they'll say, oh well, this right here, I've captured this and this with that, but you're doing the same thing as if you did something as far as catching somebody with just a regular camera. Correct. You know, you're still not getting the explanation of what it is.
Right. Yep, exactly.
So people are closed-minded to bringing a medium on, but they will go out and spend, what, tens of thousands of dollars on this equipment, and then they may catch more pictures and stuff, but they still have no answers to it.
Right. And now, earlier you mentioned to me that that you weren't a medium, and I got it, and I'm going to take a little shot at you right now. So sorry about that.
Okay.
Is the fact that I think everybody is, and it's a part of my religion. I'm a spiritualist, but in the fact that, okay, I'm going to use the analogy I use, and it's the easiest way to do it. Both of you guys play baseball, right? If you play baseball in any form, like kickball, baseball, you know, everybody's played baseball in some kind of form, right? I think everybody on the face of the earth has played baseball in some kind of form. All right. Not everybody's A-Rod. Not everyone's Henry Aaron. Not everyone can make the major leagues. But somebody can hit a home run playing stickball. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when you're walking down that alley and you know that you shouldn't be down that alley, that spirit telling you, get the hell out of the alley.
Right.
When you know you should turn right and turn left today, I always go left, but today I'm going right. You know spirit told you to turn right to be not in that accident that's going to happen. You know when you, because you guys have been on investigations, and I know both of you have had these, where you've gone in and you know what's in that place. You know what you're feeling. You know there's someone there, right? Both of you have had that, right? That spirit telling you, and you're doing it. So everybody has the ability. It's just the people who turn it off or say, I don't have it. Yes, you have it. Use it, and it gets better. I mean, just like anything, it gets better with practice. You know?
I think the difference to me is, you know, how you describe seeing the people and they would come and sit down and have a conversation with you. That to me is the difference. That's something that you've had.
Right. But then again, I would say that's a major league medium. You know what I mean?
Right.
Somebody that really, you know, practices it and it's their faith and, you know, really into it. And I think, you know, I mean, there's some great mediums out there, like one of my great friends, Dakota Lawrence, you know. There's a lot of great mediums out there. Bell Salisbury, you know. So there's a lot of good people that are up in the upper echelons, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't consider myself with them at all. But I think that we all can grow, and I think we all can learn. And I think if you go into an investigation, I think the biggest thing that you should take into an investigation is your mind. And I think a lot of times we forget that because we're too worried about looking down at the meter instead of looking to see the shadow that just walked across the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, and what good is it, the meter going? What good is it going to do if the meter goes off? You didn't see what just made it go off, you know? And it's, you know, and like we were talking earlier about just after you see these things, you know, I had my first paranormal experience when I was very young. And we were talking about how these things just burn themselves in your mind. And it's no matter how much anybody tries, they can't debunk that to us. Somebody can say, well, you saw this, you saw that. We know what we've seen. And that's what it's true. It's that we make ourselves the best tool. And even though we know what we see, you know, we can still, you know, help people out from just what we see. You know, if we're on an investigation, we keep our eyes peeled, see something, we can always, you know, try to put something together to help that person out just from what we've seen.
Right.
You know, better than what we'd get if we're just, you know, listening to EVPs or, you know, looking at meters, like you said.
Yep. A lot of times, I mean, that's what it's all about for people. And it's like, put them down. I mean, have them there, but don't always be looking at them. You know, it's just like, you know, I think a lot of times we miss stuff. I mean, I know I did my first investigation I ever did with Dr. Tim Hart back in 1993 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin at the Grand Opera House. And we did this investigation. We had string. We had baby powder. I think he had a camcorder, and he had some kind of, I think he had a big tape player that he was recording with. And that's where we went. And we had footsteps all night long. We had footsteps in the powder. We had noises. We, you know, and that's the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much more could we have caught now? You know, that's the way I look at it too. Because I think technology helps us catch more. But I think if we're caught up in it, you know, look how much you catch without it, you know. So don't get caught up in your gear. Use your gear as a tool. Not as the whole investigation. Just like don't use a medium as a whole investigation. I saw in the chat room, Tim said he hasn't found a medium that he just lives up the street from me in Appleton, because I'm from Wisconsin. And I said, well, Tim, call me up. I'll come up for investigations. I'll be happy to.
There you go.
So yeah, I
there you go, Tim. Give him a call.
Yeah, give me a call. Who are you gonna call? Spooky Scotty.
Scotty Rorick.
Yeah. Call me. Call me on my phone. I'm up 24 hours a day.
And he's ready to go.
I am.
He's itching to go.
I go tonight.
Yeah. So you have got some events coming up this weekend. Is that correct?
I do have a big event this weekend. We are doing a mini event, just like I talked about earlier. And I think that's going to be the future of paranormal now, these mini events. And as you said earlier, it is fun to be in a more intimate group. You know, I think it's a neater thing. We're giving on Friday night in East Troy, Wisconsin. We're doing an event called Phenomenal Friday. And for $25, you can come in and we're doing a lecture. We're doing a gallery reading and we're doing a ghost hunt for $25.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. So you get all that in the evening. So I was working on all day today on the presentation, you know, getting the PowerPoint done. But we're going to give you history, kind of like, you know, an early lessons on what we think ghost hunting is. And then we're going to, from there, we're going to talk about gear, because we're going to have all their gear out there. And then we're going to give a gallery reading. Then they're going to give a history, and the mediums are going to leave. And we'll come back and finish up and do the investigation of Ivan's restaurant and bar in East Troy. It's a cool place because it used to be a stagecoach stop between Chicago and East Troy and Madison and Madison and Milwaukee and East Troy, because it's right in between. You know, it's in the southern portion. So the stagecoaches would go by there and stop there and spend the night and then make the rest of the way to Madison. Because you think about it, it takes us 3 hours to get from Madison to Chicago now, and it took them 2 days. So
before. Oh, man.
But anyway, this place was, you know, it was a, for those of you who are a medium and coming out, you can turn off the radio now. I'll give you a second. There you go. But it used to be, they used to have a brothel in it. And the first night I went in, it was kind of weird how we set it up. The people that are putting this event on and us, I used to know her in college, Marianne, and I went to college together. So she had another medium come in who was not so good, because this medium said there was demons in this place. And I'm like, oh, really? Seriously?
Oh, no. The D word.
Yeah, the ratings. But, thank you.
Yeah. Let me not go there for cripe's sake. So so she called me up and said, hey, can you come over and do a walkthrough and see what you get? And then we could talk about more after. And after I got through, I told them about all the places, and they told them what I felt, and they go, that's pretty close to the history of what we have. I said, good, then I know that I'm on. And I said, there's enough spirits here to do an event at. And they go, oh, good, let's do it then. And that's what we're doing. So Friday night's our first one. If it goes well, we're going to be having more there. They're hoping at least once a month, twice a month, something like, you know, once every other month, I mean. So it could be a really cool event where you can just come out, have a good night. It's a great location. There's enough spirits, and it's two buildings and three locations. Down in the basement is there's a spirit down there that used to run liquor during Prohibition, and all he wanted to do was show me his still all night. He kept going, come on, I want to show you my still. I'm like, dude, I saw it. No, you didn't. Over here. It's over here. I go, no, seriously. I said, no, you want, come on, you got to see my still. This is how I got it out of here. You know, he's very proud of his liquor, you know, so. We'll be down there in the basement, and then we'll be up on the second and third floor where the brothel was. And I actually told them, I think they're, because they don't have exact history on what floors where the brothel was on, I gave them different than what some other person came earlier. And they tend to believe me now because, you know, because everyone told them there was a demon. So, but... But then again, even in after I did, and I told him that, I went up and looked at, you know, and I looked at the architecture of the building. And, you know, and most people know that the brothels, especially fancier ones and stagecoach stops and stuff, weren't like places that were nasty, you know what I mean? They tried to make them look really good. They had better woodwork. They had better... You know, and the third floor of this building had no woodwork, and it was all plain stuff. And I was like, in these steep staircase, and I'm like, going, do you really think that the John would go up the stairs and go into rooms like this with really angled ceilings? I said, where you look downstairs, and they had these nice plush rooms with nice doors. And I'm like, going, see, this is where the rooms were.
Yeah.
The prostitutes lived upstairs. That's where they were, because I kept hearing kids up there. And so that was the way they kept their families hidden, upstairs.
And that sounds exactly like a movie theater that I investigated here in Ohio.
Which one?
The Sydney.
Oh, okay. I did the Sorg in Ohio. Did you ever go to the Sorg Opera House in Middletown?
No.
Oh, that's an awesome place, by the way. We did a table tipping session there that I've never been able to recreate how long it went. It went like for 45 minutes around this room. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. A lot of ghosts in Ohio. I'm going to say that.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. There's a lot of great historical locations out there. Down here in Atlanta, you know, Sherman took care of all those for us. So
kind of got rid of them for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Sherman.
In Wisconsin, they're just trying to come out with, you know, some. So that's what kind of where we're going with this Ivan's place. They've gotten... Ever since we started this, I mean, people come up to us with tickets and, you know, and on the street and everything. They came up to us and said, they kept coming up to us and saying, hey, guys, you know, I got this story. I got this. This is what I've seen. I heard this, you know. So people have been giving us their ghost stories all along. So that's why we know we've actually hit what we wanted to do. We hit it like a nerve in the town. People are willing to talk about it now, which they weren't before. And we think that's a cool thing. And after they see the first event, I think they're going to like it, and they're going to tell their friends, and more will come out. So it's just kind of neat when you can, because there's a history there, and there's so many other cool buildings around in this square in East Troy that I would like to investigate into, because there's more there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's, and the history of these places are just absolutely awesome. You know, you just go and see all the things they used to do in these buildings, just like you were talking about. That was a brothel, and it was, you know, the stagecoaches came through. And I mean, it's, you know, you don't have much places like that here, because I mean, like I said, Atlanta got burned to the ground,
right?
And it's, so we have, you know, we do have some here and there historical locations, but they're scattered out. But you go up to Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, you get all kinds of stuff all up in there that's just, you know,
yep,
deep history. It's great stuff up there
in Kentucky too. Oh, it was, yeah, cool. I went to a cemetery, and we talked about earlier about, you know, sharing evidence and doing repeatable evidence. So what we did once is within a year and a half, I went to this place twice. I went a year later, and somebody went 6 months in between me, right? Mm-hmm. And we did investigation at the same place, and we all got EVPs, and we all played them together, and it was the same voice from three different things with three different investigation groups, got the same voice.
Oh, that's
the same
awesome.
Cemetery. Isn't that cool?
That is very awesome right there.
That is so cool. That is the type of stuff that you look for. And those people that say you can't repeat this stuff, well, here it is. A year later, three investigations over a year, we went back to the same place, got the same evidence.
That's awesome. You got to love stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's what keeps you coming back. What's similar?
We had something similar to that this past weekend. Two different people on the investigation, the Ghost Talk event that we were at, were using one was the Ovilus, and another was a sort of like the Ovilus. Mm-hmm. And they both said the same word at the exact same time.
That's cool, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When we were at Bobby Mackey's, Zeta and I were there, and we had a couple of hack boxes running. We had a couple of Ovilus running. We had, and then we had our recorders running. And the spirits all night were telling me to, you know, die and all this type of stuff. They were cussing at me all night. All of a sudden, we hear on the hack box, you know, and everyone says that they have a hard time with hack boxes because it could be radio signals, but we actually heard the FU.
Oh, man.
Not FU in the all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then everybody goes, do we just hear that on the radio? Yes, you just heard that. So we went back to hear it, and I rewind, and I took the EVP, and I went a little bit earlier, and just about 30 seconds before that, you hear a disembodied voice say it too. So you hear, F you. And then all of a sudden,
man.
And then you hear the hack box go, F you. Nice.
That's just too awesome. You guys, we're fixing to have to take a break here. We're going to take about a 10-minute break or so. We're going to play the news, and we will be back with Scotty Rourke. We may take some phone calls, so stay tuned, and we shall be back very soon.
Awesome.
How does it feel to be on your own while the night slips away? You toss and turn like a ship in a storm. Have you lost your way? I can see by the look in your eyes you've been hurt before. Hold me close like the very first time, 'cause that's what love is for. There's no reason to cry, so be there beside you. You need someone
Welcome to Pair Challenge Radio News, PCRN. My name is Brian Watley. This is your news segment for this ghostly Tuesday night. Your dead-on top news stories are...
About fairy tales. Our first story tonight is Fairy Tales Too Scary for Kids. We Can Fix That. Posted March the 12th, 2012 by Melissa Albert, and you can find this on community.sparknotes.com. Up next in news, we already knew, it seems that fairy tales, the deep, dark, grim brothers kind, are too scary for children. With their focus on death, child abandonment, and evil of all kinds, these tales are no longer approved bedtime readings by the parents of today. Other hilarious compliments and complaints target the old-fashioned gender types in stories like Cinderella, or the fact that a fairy tale are just too darn unrealistic, a claim that boggles the mind, and so we offer these updates on classic tales for the overprotective parent. Our first one is Cinderella, and it's basically one day while scrubbing out their hearth for her demanding stepfamily, Cinderella notices a half-burnt flyer for the nearby community college of the realm. She sneaks away to attend night classes, becoming a licensed real estate agent. Meanwhile, Prince Charming decides to downgrade to a smaller palace and calls on Cinderella after seeing her ad on the side of carriages all over town. They fall in love shortly after she closes the deal for him on an enchanted condo, and they marry in a small ceremony, and she keeps her last name, whatever that is. What about Hansel and Gretel? Hansel and Gretel's father does abandon his children in the forest, but it's because they're 30 and he's trying to get them out of the house. Luckily, Gretel has a friend whose cottage they can crash at, and Hansel is diabetic, so they leave the weird candy house in the woods alone. How about Goldilocks and the Three Bears? Well, after Goldilocks breaks into the bear's house and steals their food, her family decides it's time for an intervention. The bears opt not to press charges, but Goldilocks has to work 40 hours of community service. Most of it is spent helping a disguised princess separate dry lentils from grains of wheat, at the request of an evil sorceress. And here we are with Little Red Riding Hood. When Little Red Riding Hood arrives at her grandmother's house, she finds the old woman stirring a simmering pot. That coyote was sniffing around here again, so I shot him with my home invasion pistol, she says. Little Red frowns, and she's sick of wolf stew. Jack and the Beanstalk. Yes, when Jack starts some making fantastic claims about a world in the clouds accessible via a magical beanstalk, the town doctor puts him on an antipsychotic medication. His delusions stop, and he returns to his realistic life of grinding poverty. The Pied Piper of Hamelin. And when the people of Hamelin fail to pay him after he pipes away the town's infestation of rats, Pied Piper takes the town's mayor to small claims court. Justice is finally served in the form of a check for $80, and he pipes away into the hills and is never seen again. The original tale about a mysterious green-dressed piper who punishes Hamelin by luring all the children out of the village and off to an unknown fate actually is pretty scary. What about Rapunzel? As it turns out, an enlightened rewrite of this classic tale is totally awesome, so we don't need to mess with it. So, do you think traditional fairy tales are too scary for kids? How would you rewrite them? Maybe this would be a good challenge. And our next story, again, is alternate fairy tale morals. This was posted on April the 8th, 2010. And this is brought to us by Robert Eisenberg. And you can find this again on community.sparknotes.com. Every child loves fairy tales, and since the days of Aesop, they have taught us lessons about human nature, like how patience is important and strangers are creepy. But this is the only way to look at folk stories? Is the obvious moral also the only moral? Here are some other takes on favorite bedtime cautionary tales. Again, with Goldilocks and the Three Bears. The gist is, well, a young girl wanders into a house owned by talking bears. She eats their porridge, sits in their chairs, and sleeps in their beds. And the bears come home and kick her out. Well, the moral is, talking bears are not down with couchsurfing.com, and porridge makes you sleepy. Our next title is Rapunzel. and the gist of this is a witch tricks a gardener into giving up his daughter Rapunzel. The witch puts Rapunzel in the tower and refuses to let her get a haircut. Prince shows up and climbs Rapunzel's rope-like hair. The witch gets upset and blinds the prince. Rapunzel magically cures the prince's blindness with her tears. The moral is, orphans make fantastic physicians. Yes, love is blind, but only for a few minutes. How about Little Red Riding Hood again? The gist is, a young girl tries to bring snacks to her grandmother in the woods, and a wolf convinces her to procrastinate, eats the grandmother dresses in the grandmother's clothes, then tricks Red Riding Hood and devours her as well. The huntsman finds the wolf and cuts him open, then pulls out Little Red and her grandmother, and they fill the wolf's stomach with rocks as a kind of a sick joke. And the moral is, a real huntsman shives first and asks questions later. A wolf in sheep's clothing is not as bad as a wolf in grandma's clothing. Here we are with Cinderella. The gist is, when Cinderella's mother dies, her father marries a raging harpy of a stepmother, and Cinderella becomes servant to her nasty stepsisters. Cinderella isn't invited to the ball, but her fairy godmother gives her a makeover and a sweet ride, and the prince hits on her. When Cinderella has to come home at midnight, she leaves a glass slipper behind. Their steps has cut off their toes just trying to get you, but the present prince isn't fooled. He finds Cinderella, and they live happily ever after. Well, the moral of this one is, princes are horrible at remembering faces. Toe scars, like love, last forever. And Hansel and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel are left in the woods by, guess what, their stepmother. They find a gingerbread house in the forest. The owner, a crazy witch, locks them in a cage and tries to force feed them until they're fat enough to eat. And the siblings manage to push the witch into an oven, where she is burned alive. Then they find their way home. Well, the moral is, cannibals don't build houses out of normal things like wood. Don't preheat the oven till absolutely necessary. And Rumpelstiltskin. The gist is, well, for incredibly arbitrary reasons, a local king commands a peasant girl to spin straw into gold, and if she doesn't, he'll execute her. A dwarf appears and says he'll do it for her, but she has to give up her firstborn child. The girl tries to get out of it, so if the dwarf says he'll break the contract if she guesses his name, like what? She stalks the dwarf and finds out his name, then guesses it, and Rumpelstiltskin is so angry that he tears himself in two. Well, the moral is, girls, beware of dwarves. Dwarves, beware of girls. Everyone, beware of kings? I don't know. What kind of alternative morals can you come up with? Write to me and let me know. And our next story is My Life as a Fairy Tale, of course. And this is posted on April 3rd, 2010. And you can find this, of course, on the same site, communitysparknotes.com. So this is really presenting the top 10 reasons living in a fairy tale would be cooler than real life. Number 10 is less laundry. Not only do you have to do your laundry less in a fairy tale because things only get dirty when the plot requires them to, but when you do finally have to do it, there's less laundry to do because you only have one outfit. And what about a good singing voice for number 9? Everyone in fairy tales has a good singing voice, which will definitely be helpful when you are trying to win over your one and only true love, because a good song won't win him or her over. He or she's not the right person, and hopefully it's not a he-she. Number 8. Way more interesting. If you are living in a fairy tale, it's pretty much guaranteed that something awesome is going to happen to you. Whether you like it or not, no more boring, dreary days. Number 7. The villains are way cooler. I mean, sure, the dragon can rip your arms off, and that witch could turn you into a toadstool, but come on! Who wouldn't rather be turned into a toadstool than be turned into a vegetable by her math teacher's bad breath? Number 6 is animal friends. If you have talking animal friends that will cheer you up, or do your chores for you, woot woot, or you already have some servants who will do your every bidding. Number 5 is good hair. And if you lived in a fairy tale, you would never again have to worry about a bad hair day. In every single fairy tale movie, the main character has perfect hair. No more worrying about that frizz. Number 4 is royalty. Either you are already a prince or princess, you are one but you don't know you are, or you are going to marry into royalty, and if, on an off chance, that doesn't work for you, just go invent your own country and declare yourself in charge. There seems to be enough made-up countries out there for everyone. Number three is nice parents. No matter what, your birth parents, not step-parents, are really nice. Sure, your mom is probably dead and your dad probably made the mistake of marrying a horrible woman, but rest assured, when your birth parents will be alive and sane, they will be really nice people. And they will probably sing a lot. Number two is fairy godparents. Who wouldn't want one? They do make magic to make your life better. And number one is happily ever after. Traditionally, everyone in fairy tales lives happily ever after. Unless you are terribly depressed and don't like happy endings, in which case, I know a therapist who can get you some Prozac. This is a good thing. And for show notes for all these fairy tales, I don't know. I just like them. I hope you like them too.
If you have any other stories, items, or events you would like mentioned on PCRN, please send an email to parachallengeradio@live.com. Attention, PCR News. And that's all for PCRN. I am your Parachallenge Radio news anchor, Brian Whatley. I am the director of Ghost Hunters of the South, located out of Mobile, Alabama. You can find us on the web at www.ghots.net. That's GHOTS.net. And you can email us through contact@ghots.net. Our team is a proud TAPS family member. Thank you for tuning in, and it's time for Lights Out.
You're listening to Parachallenged Radio with your host, PC, a Jackalope Radio production.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. We are back here with Anita Brown.
Hello.
And our guest tonight, Scotty Rourke. How are you doing, sir?
I'm awesome. That was a great news break.
Yeah. Brian does a great job with the news. We appreciate that. Mr. Whatley is on ball with that stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met Brian down in at Pensacola this year. It was the first time him and I met. We were on Facebook friends before that, but we were down at the Pensacola Paracon together. So, Brian's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome. Very cool guy. We appreciate you being on here with us tonight.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm having a blast, so appreciate it.
All right, great. And we're going to be taking calls probably about the last 20 minutes of the show, guys. If anybody wants to call in and talk to Scotty, you're welcome. We're going to be posting the number here in chat pretty soon. And we've been talking last half about some events going on and some medium type stuff, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit more with Scotty about this stuff. And let's talk about some more events you got going on there in Wisconsin. What's some of the best events you've been to that you've thoroughly enjoyed the most?
Well, the thing is, Wisconsin doesn't have a ton. That's what's weird. I mean, there's not a lot of sites that really want the publicity as the ghost hunts, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the old asylums and stuff have been torn down. What's weird is there's one here in Madison, and we go up there all the time. It's this old asylum, but now they redid the building, and it's the county's human services building. So you can't get into the building, of course, because it's a county building now. But the outside in the grounds where it was before, it is crazy. There's this little woods, and you would never expect it. I mean, it's right in the middle of Madison, and there's a woods there. You go in this woods, and everybody that I've ever taken into that woods has felt the same thing in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't tell them before we go in, and it's just crazy. It's a creepy little woods.
And, oh, man.
But it's from the spirits from the building, because they're still on the site, on the grounds, you know. Not all the buildings are used yet, so the spirits are all around. And now they know that most of the people can't come into the building, so they come out to try to find us. So,
yeah, and they still just go about their normal schedule and stuff, it seems like.
Yep.
And it's we've heard about stuff like that, and here in Marietta we've got a few stories of where you can see, like, people there. One Halloween here, there was like a big Halloween party out in the Marietta Square. It was like I think back in I'm not sure of the exact date, probably the 1860s or something like that. It was a little bit after the Civil War, and there was a big explosion that killed a lot of people, and you could see some spirits running around there. They look like they're in half, but they haven't been blown in half. It's just from where the road used to kind of creep up.
Right.
The road used to be higher, so that kind of has the bottom of their body cut off, and I always thought that was the coolest story, you know, because you hear a lot of people reporting stuff like that back to you. And they always say they see them with, like, dog helmets and stuff like that on, because it was happened during Halloween. People used to dress up more like dogs and stuff like that back then. So I've always loved the stories of how the older buildings and the way the old landscape used to be kind of affects the spirits that are trapped here, you know. That's right. Always been very cool.
But, you know, some of the coolest places I've been, I think probably the most haunted place I've ever been into is Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, mm-hmm. Kentucky. That by far was the most outrageous place I've ever been, and it wasn't even in the area that everybody else caught it. I know Zena and I caught EVPs all over that place. I mean, I think we came out of there with, you know, most places you might get one EVP. I think mm-hmm. in that night we came out of there with 30.
Oh, man.
It was crazy, and it wasn't even in the basement, you know, down where the hole is, you know, where they say they... You know, mm-hmm. put the girl's head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it wasn't even there. It was upstairs. It was on the main bar floor. It was up in the apartment. It was just like, it was that by far. If you ever get to Bobby Mackey's, say hi to Wanda for me and go there and even take the little ghost tours they do there. Now, there it's some crazy stuff going on in that place. The other one that I'm going back to this year, and I'm really excited about, is I have an event in July at the Sloss Furnace. We're doing a haunted entertainment gig down there.
And we're going to try to back it out for that one. That's about a couple hours from me. So,
yeah, Daryl's putting on a pretty good show there. But Sloss, by the way, is the other place. It was crazy at Sloss when I was there. We found out that there was a TV show that was there right before we investigated it, like a week before, and I ended up finding that was where Ghost Adventures came. And that's when, before Ghost Adventures was even getting big. And mm-hmm. So we did the investigation, and of course theirs didn't air because they just filmed it. And when it came on that year, Zach was down on that little bridge down below where mm-hmm. the water is, and he was getting all the stuff and all the noises. And I got so much down in that exact same place. I kept going. We were all amazed because it was the same type of activity happening where they caught it on TV. So that was the first time I thought, hey, okay, I'll believe those guys, you know.
Yeah.
Because they got the same kind of evidence I got. So,
mm-hmm.
But, yes, I almost got pushed off the railing up on, you know, on the catwalk. So that place is crazy, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, even when you just see pictures of that, you just your skin just kind of crawls, just kind of get that feeling, kind of like what you were talking about earlier. The spirits are talking to you, telling you there's something here, you know.
Right. You know, and that's the thing too. I mean, okay, and I remember I was the first time I got touched was I remember it. I felt it. I thought it was like electric spider webs, you know. And mm-hmm. That's kind of how I still call it now. And I mean, it's like tingling spider webs, you know, or that's the type of feeling you get. And a lot of people say they have had that on investigations, but they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm kind of saying it to everybody. That spirit again, you know, we're talking about spirit all night tonight. That spirit trying to get you to realize that they're there. And that's the mm-hmm. way they can interact, and that's how your body feels, is that electric spider web. Some people can feel, you know, some spirits are much more advanced, and they can actually, you can feel their hand on you or some pressure. But that electric mm-hmm. spider web is usually the first place, you know, the first thing that you know, mm-hmm. you get it. And I get it a lot. I mean, I know even in the church I go to, our pastor never... She's a phenomenal medium, but she never had the sense of touch before. And now that since I've been there, she's more open to it and knows it happens. And now she gets it. So mm-hmm. once again, it's being open to spirit and open to everything, you know, that's out there when you investigate. And this is for everybody. I mean, this is, you know, if you think you're a sensitive or medium, then you need to be more open. You need to know that we all don't have the same abilities. You know, not everybody is a clairaudient and not everyone's clairsentient, you know. Everybody's a little bit different, you know. And that's the cool thing about it. And we all do readings different and we all do investigations different. And that's neat in itself, too.
I've had quite a bit of the spider webs.
Well, that's awesome, isn't it?
And yeah. And another one I noticed is I will have pulsing in my ears that sounds like a baby's heartbeat over an ultrasound.
Oh. Yeah, see, I get a ringing in my ears.
They'll start pulsing usually before there's some kind of activity, or I might call it out that it's starting to happen and there'll be EVP.
I call it my bat phone. You know. Commissioner Gordon's calling. You got to go to work.
Yeah.
Stand back.
Exactly.
The worst thing ever, though, was I've had the spider webs a lot, but there was an investigation I went on. It was one of my very first ones. It was my first residential investigation. Mm-hmm. And the woman had had some very bad activity in the home. And she seemed kind of strange, and she turned around and looked at all of us before we went in, and she said very seriously, "Watch out for the spiders." And we're like, okay. So we go in and we look around, and there's nothing but, you know, a few old cobwebs that I noticed. The lights are on. I go to open a door to do an EMF reading in a little room that was right off of her hallway. And as I'm reaching for the doorknob, I feel what feels like an actual spider. Not webs, but like a spider just crawling across the back of my hand. And there was nothing there.
Wow.
And I had that a few times throughout the night on my arms, on my hands. We'd look with the flashlight. There'd be nothing. And it happened to another girl that was there, too. And we couldn't figure that one out. But just the way she said that, watch out for the spiders. And we never saw a spider all night long. That was an absolutely horrible feeling.
I can imagine. I'm not a big fan of spiders. They're up there with clowns and others.
You know, I don't. You know, I don't mind. I mean, I'm deathly afraid of rats and mice. I can't. I'm crazy. But the rest of it, I mean, to me, if I'm not getting touched or I don't have that connection with spirit, I actually kind of now feel lonely. You know, I'm like going, all right, what did I do wrong? Why aren't they talking to me? You know, why aren't they, you know, why am I not hearing that? But, you know, the prime example of having your spirit guide, you know, there with you and that type of stuff, I mean, and the ringing in your ears. I was coming back. I have season tickets to the Packers. So we're driving back from Lambeau. And so we're driving back, and it was really cloudy, and then it got real foggy. And all of a sudden, I got probably the loudest ringing to date in my ears, and I just knew I had to slow down. So I hit the brakes, and sure enough, out of the fog came a truck screaming across the intersection. So I knew that they saved me that night and my kids because we were in the car together. And it was, and you know, I know they can't be there always, but that one they could be, and so they did. But that's my point, is you got to listen to this. You got to be able to recognize that. And if I didn't recognize it, then you know, imagine what would have happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, spirit does try to talk to you, and they try to get you to understand, and you just got to accept it, you know? I mean, I know that, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. We were talking about that doubt, and it still, you know, it still comes for a lot of people. I mean, and back when I first started, I mean, I had a story with Steve, my spirit guide, and one day him and I got into a fight. Now, can you imagine a person getting in a fight with their spirit guide? But I was here, and I said to him, I said, I don't think you're real, and I F this, you know, I don't, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm just, you know, I'm just crazy. This is not spirit. This is, you know, all of a sudden I said, you're going to have to do something to prove that you're real. And then all of a sudden, there was this huge slam in our house, and I was the only one home. And I went, okay, you're real. That's fine. And he goes to me, he goes, don't you ever do that to me again. I said, I won't. So, and that's when everything started to turn for me, and everything's been better. And, and just because we understand where we are, you know, we understand. I understand what he's here for, and I understand why I need him, you know.
Right.
So it's that relationship. So I still give out kudos out to Steve, because without him, you know, I wouldn't be doing the work that I'm doing and helping the people that I'm helping. And I still think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
are our spirit guides, are they people that we know or our ancestors, mm-hmm. or could they just be anybody?
Sure, they could be both. I know that my spirit guide is, he just said, don't call me an anybody. I said, okay, I won't. I love it when he talks to me when I'm on the air. That's always good. Thanks, man. But anyway, Steve died in 1922 in Greece, that's where he lived and that's where he grew up. And him and I, before I came to this earth, decided that we were coming together. He wanted to give it a try, and he told me he's never going to do it again. He goes, it's too much freaking work dealing with you. I said, okay, I know you picked a hard one the first time, but let's go maybe get an easier one. He goes, I'm not going to do it. So, but yes, they could be, you know, because I've known people that have had spirit guides that are family members. But most of the time, your spirit guides are somebody you don't know, and it's a relationship you have to build with that person. And the stronger so it's somebody that's passed and that they're trying to help and trying to grow themselves too, you know.
Right.
And that's what Steve had to learn. I mean, Steve and I have very similar personalities. We joke a lot. We have a lot of fun. And then I know that Zita, my co-host, her spirit guide's a Buddhist monk. And his name is GQ. And GQ is the complete opposite. You know, he's very stoic and, you know, keeps her on the right path. But you are given the guy that you need. You know, and I think if somebody didn't have that sense of humor that I have, it would be tough. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think that's why we get along so well. And I think that's why you're paired up so well with that guide. A lot of people call them guardian angels. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying and trying and trying to figure out who mine is, and I just can't seem to figure it out at all. I know I have one, but it's just every time I even try, there's just nothing.
Well, there is. Here's the thing. Do you meditate?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's a problem. You need to meditate more.
Okay.
Okay. And once you understand the meditation and get your mind into the set and get it into a place where you're not always running and thinking, that's when your guides are going to first show up to you.
I gotcha.
I don't think mine's ever going to be showing up then.
I've had things show up, but I don't know if they're, you know, I always assume everything is some sort of haunting, so I don't know if I missed it.
Yeah, well, you'll never miss it because they don't go away. Everybody has one spirit guide that is there forever. Steve is my one forever. I have other spirit guides that come in. Like Chief White Cloud, it comes in and out whenever I need patience and whenever I need, you know, the discipline and stuff like that. He's there for me. And
right.
He teaches me that. And then he leaves. He's not around all the time. Steve's here all the time. You always have that one person with you all the time. Then the other ones come in and go. So did you miss it? No. You might have missed one guide, but you didn't miss your guide. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right.
Absolutely.
Anita, that's the other thing you got to do is you got to be able to accept the fact that it's going to come to you. And when it happens, then you have to realize it. Once again, it's that realization. And so that doubt has to go away and that realization. But I always wondered who was talking to me in my head, and then I asked him. You know, Zita told me to ask him his name, and I said, "What's your name?" And he gave me this name, and I said, "I don't understand that name. It's like Doc Malakalakabis or something like that. You know, it's Greek." I was like, going, "I don't know this name." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "Just call me Steve." I said, "Okay, Steve." That's how he got the name Steve. You know, it's not his real name. You know, he's got a real Greek name, but I cannot pronounce it.
Right.
So he knew I'd have a hard time with it, so we don't go by that. And it's not a big deal to him. It's not like that's his person. Mm-hmm. You know, he is the same person as who he is. You know, he's the same spirit no matter what you call him by. But he accepted that name, and that's what we go by. And that's how we have a better, easier relationship, you know. And most people go, you know, I'm expecting these people with spirit guides to have these big, huge names, and yours is Steve. Mm-hmm. it's Steve, you know. But he's good. I mean, he can twing people in the ears. I mean, if he, you know, I know he's done it when I've been on the air. He's gone over to Zita's house and twinged her on the air for something she said, you know, and all of a sudden she feels in the back of her head and she goes, "Hey, stop, Steve." And I was like, I laugh. I go, "Yep, it was him."
I really got to hold one of those.
You do. They're fun.
I was hoping it could be simple. He could just, like, call up the Spirit Guide Association and look on a list and tell me who it was.
Yeah.
No, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. And most, you know, some people, some mediums will go out and give you the names of spirit guides. I don't. The reason I don't is because I know the intimate relationship that Steve and I have. And
right.
And don't everybody think, you know, the sexual way. No, stop it. Mm-hmm. But it is a personal relationship between me and him. We are right. Best friends. And to get to that level, I had to earn his trust. He had to earn my trust. You know?
You got to find it on your own.
Right. So you have to figure it out yourself. That's the way I say it. I will tell
it's
you.
Part of your journey.
Correct. And that's exactly right, because if you just are given everything in your journey, then you're not really learning the damn thing.
That's that. Right.
You know, so you know, learn something out of this. You know, you have to grow. This is what it's all about. This is why we're back here again, because most of us are back here again.
And we've been talking a lot about that lately. We've been talking a lot about you know, stuff in our past. This is going bad. My past. This sucks. And you know, it's all part of the journey, and you go back and look back, and you go, well, you know, I've learned a lot of stuff from that. And, yeah. You know, and it's all part, you go through the bad to get to the good, and same thing, I guess, with your spirit guide. You just got to kind of find them on your own, because there's something to that that's going to help you get to a higher level.
Correct. You know, you got to right. You got to get that personal relationship, you know, and that's the part of it. I mean, and once again, it comes down to belief and trust, you know, and those... and free will, and then those intangibles that you can't just be given, you know, mm-hmm. through this right. whole thing. And go ahead.
I definitely still struggle with that. You know, I can experience yeah. something or hear something or see something, and I'm automatically not even catching it all because I'm wondering if it's really happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My ears are ringing now when you're saying that, So the message to you is you're not going to get it until you get to a place where you can accept it. Because mm-hmm. why work on a relationship when you're not able to accept it yet?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I just got. So that's what it is. I mean, that's and that's the truth. I mean, because, you know, if you're not into a place. See, now I had another spirit guide come in, and I met him in a dream. And he came to me, and it was clear as day. But 2 days later, he was gone, and I have not seen him since. So something in my life changed to not have that one with me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe I wasn't in a place that I needed him, or okay. something changed that I didn't need it anymore, you know, or I made a choice that changed everything. So he left.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not seen him back since. But I know I have Chief White Cloud, and I know I have Steve, and Steve's always there. You know, so, I mean, I have those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the Chief only comes in once in a while. He was here when I was going through a lot of health problems. He was here, but it was just getting through the, you know, just making me stronger, you know, and he right. was great at that.
Mm-hmm.
Where Steve is not. You know, so you mm-hmm. bring other guides in, you bring other spirits in to help you, that they have the strengths in that area, so you can grow.
That yeah. makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, if the Chief was something kind of like a medicine man, and that in that sense, you know, he may be what can help you out instead of Steve may not have any idea what you were going through and right. what kind of help you needed at that moment.
Right. And you know. It was kind of funny, Brian, when I first met the Chief the first night, And this is, you know, I went back and I got Chief White Cloud, and I went, oh, great, toilet paper. So I was like, okay. And then I started questioning myself, and I'm going, did he really mean Red Cloud or this? And I kept getting White Cloud. And then I went to JoJo, one of my good friends who works on the show, I said earlier. I went to her, and she's great at Native Americans and Native Canadians, you know. She has all that history, and she found the chief, and it was exactly like the picture that I saw. And she gave me the picture, and I was like, holy cow, this is him. This is him. Mm-hmm. And so I had validation that it was really him. And, you know, so then it just proved to myself, stop doubting yourself. The message you get is right.
Mm-hmm.
And it got validated with JoJo sending me the picture of the chief that I saw. So then it was like, okay,
that's awesome.
He is real. He is here. He's helping me out. There you go.
Yeah.
So, but you got to get to that point, though. You know, that's what I'm saying. You got to get to that point. You have to be able to say, I'm going to be able to accept this if they come to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. You've got to be open for the. You've got to be open for the experience, and it's kind of. You know, we've talked about. You know, as far as opening up ourselves for experiences, you know, it's kind of like when somebody goes out and does a cleansing or a of any kind on a house. You know, even if they're just doing a, you know, a preacher's blessing a house or anything like that, it's, you know, it's not as much as what they're doing as what it's doing for the people to open them up for the experience to make them think everything's better. It's actually the people making them better. They're so better just from opening themselves up through the experience of the cleansing or the, you know, the smudging in the house or the blessing in the house. You know, that opens the people up to the fact that that everything's going to get better, and they have themselves make it get better. Correct. So that's almost like with the, you know, with the spirit guide, you know, you're opening yourself up to let something new in, and it's, you know, you need that little click there, just like the cleansing or something.
Right.
And you are able to ask a spirit guide to leave if it's not your main one.
Mm-hmm.
If you totally just don't get along with somebody, mm-hmm. and you're not getting along with them, then you two don't need to work together.
Right.
Yeah.
But your main guide always is paired up just right, so I will tell you that.
I don't know if you'd know the answer to this or not, but...
Ask it. I will tell you if I do or I don't.
If your spirit guide is there, is it possible for other spirits that are in the location to not know, be aware of them?
The answer is no.
Okay.
I do understand what it is. The spirits all know me because Steve is my protector. Steve is my guardian. Steve is my gatekeeper. Steve doesn't let crap come to me. I know we were talking in break about that situation where another investigator felt something that I did and felt it a lot stronger after I walked by. And the reason they felt it is because they didn't have that relationship with their spirit guide yet to allow them not to take that on. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Steve does protect me from those spirits that shouldn't be with me or get too close. I can have Steve go, take them back, step them off me. You know,
I was asking because I've had more interaction with one spirit here than I have any of the others.
Okay.
And I've asked questions of all of them through divination and so forth. And I've asked the others questions about this one that I see all the time, you know, is there a little boy here? And they all say no. And I'm like, what? Because that's the only one I've actually seen. So I that's why I was asking that, because there's so much interaction with him, but less so with the other ones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe that other spirit and you have a connection.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that answer is yes. But see, I'm letting you figure it out tonight because you need
to,
you need to figure this yourself. You have the answers, by the way, already. Sorry to give you a reading, but it's just coming to me, so I'm just going to say it. So, you have the abilities, but stop questioning yourself. And you already have the answers. You know your answers. You know where you're supposed to be, but now you just got to do it. So
right.
get off and get on the horse and get going. Seriously.
That's
it. And everything I'm saying, you understand, right?
Yes, absolutely.
See, okay. So
I need to stop looking for validation like I was just doing for the last 20 minutes.
Right.
And that's it.
You know I've been saying it, so just do it.
Yeah. Stop listening to me when I tell you everything's not a ghost.
which is okay. I mean, you two will make a great team. I mean, that's what it's about. You guys keep yourself honest. My wife doesn't. I mean, my wife goes to mediumship classes with me, and she tries to learn, but she doesn't get as much as me at all. And, you know, she doesn't sense the stuff, but she keeps me honest, you know?
Right.
I mean, you still got to be skeptical. You got to be a little skeptical on everything. You can't just take everything, you know? And that's the biggest thing, you know? So it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. People say, well, you got to be one way or the other. No, you got to actually be a combination of them all.
Yeah, I got to laugh at Nita on that stuff. I'm always busting her chops on every time she hears something fall. She's like, oh, that was so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, it was a ghost. She's like, she just talks to me in that voice like, I'm going to kill you as soon as you go to sleep.
Well, all I'll say was, what the world was that? And he'll go, it was a ghost.
<I'm> like, <"Rrr."> Oh, goodness.
But yeah, I told Deb the other night, and I know what you mean about the keeping it honest. It's because I don't know if it's like this for you, but like when I'm at a location and there's been a lot of activity, I get really jumpy. I start questioning everything. And then I have a hard time separating, okay, what was really activity and what was just a noise in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you feel things.
Okay.
And you got to learn how to not feel those things. I have a dear friend that I'm working with in North Carolina. She is an empath, and when she goes out, she'll come back all sad, or she'll come back all totally frazzled, or anything like that. And it's the reason is she's not protecting herself when she goes out, so she takes on all the emotions of Walmart. You know, if she goes to Walmart, Walmart's a crazy place. You got people that are crazy. You got people that are mad. You got people that are excited. You got kids running around. You got noises. You got smells. You got, you know, it's an overload for your senses. And now, if you are a sensitive and you can smell and, you know, and you can pick up on these energies, what do you think you're going to get? You're going to take on that energy of that building. And she comes out, I'm just like that. And I said, you know, the reason is you didn't go in to protect yourself. You didn't put your white light on and walk into the place knowing that you're not going to take it on. You can see it. You can know what's happening, but you're not taking it on.
Right. And when there's a lot of activity in the building, it's amazing that you brought that up, because I've been talking about being an empath for a very long time.
I know. That's,
and
once again, I'd let you say it tonight.
I never thought
that's
about
why I said it.
I know. I never thought about the fact that if I go into this place completely open, I'm sitting in a room with 10, 15 people.
Yeah,
and there's been a lot of activity, and they're all on this adrenaline rush.
You're going to get adrenaline even more. You're going to get 10, 15 times.
Right. I got
Plus, you're going to get the energy of the spirit. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get the energy of the other spirits in the building.
Okay.
So you cannot go into anywhere unprotected.
Right.
You need to protect yourself. You need to guide yourself. And that's what you need to do. Just go in and, you know, when you do it, it's very simple. Just, you know, ask the Lord to give you protection and, you know, envision this white light around you. And this beautiful, you know, protection. And now here's the biggest thing. It's not going to hinder your ability to sense spirit. Because I get a lot of people that say that a lot. I don't do protection.
Right.
That's not the way it's going to do. It's just going to protect you from the unwanted energies that you don't want around you.
Right. It filters it.
Correct.
Very true. Very true. You cannot be going to any of these places like that, because, you know, a lot of people come home with this stuff on them, you know, and you got to, you know, make sure you're not bringing anything home like that to your families.
Correct. And I've done that a lot.
Right. And, you know, and I'm going to say it too, because there was one day I was home here and I was just totally not me. My wife was here. I was crabbier than all get out. I even went to a church. I mean, and I was doing my normal duties, but it wasn't me. I had a spirit on me that I didn't even recognize. And it affected me in every way. So even the people that do this can get spirits. That's why you got to be careful no matter what you're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you, I've done this and I know what I'm doing. And I still took one home and had it on me. Where it affected my whole day. I was just a total bastard. I really was. I was nasty, and I wouldn't want to be around me.
Yeah.
But then once I realized that, and I released that spirit, and then I was back to myself.
That's it. And just, you know, everybody just got to take the proper steps, and, you know, like the man says, you know, protect yourself when you go in. And, you know, don't take shortcuts doing this, because you could always bring something home, and, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, even if you're live by yourself, you don't want to do that. You want anything, you know, your home is your sanctuary. You don't want anything there corrupting your sanctuary.
Right. But just so you know, Brian, there are spirits in your house too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, but we won't go there on the air. I won't give you a reading too, but
there you go.
But there are spirits. But see, that's the other thing, you know, and we brought up I'm glad it just triggered with this whole thing with me. You know, I talked about the event I'm holding this weekend, and I said I went in and the other person said there was a demon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate thing with the industry now is a lot of people are all on that, you know, television thing where they think there's demons or these evil spirits or all that type of stuff, or movies, you know what I mean? And the unfortunate thing is that's kind of making it bad, you know, because I think more people are scared and they don't really have the answers. And that's why I want to be out here, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is because I'm really trying to get those misconceptions out of there. Because I had a reading where a lady says, well, I got a demon in my house. You got to come over and get rid of this demon. And mm-hmm. I said, okay, so you want me to banish this demon? Yeah. She goes, yeah. I said, where am I going to banish him? To hell? She goes, yep. I said, okay, so you want me to banish your dad to hell? And she went, what? I said, it's your dad who you see in the hall. He's right over there next to your computer. And mm-hmm. I told him all about her dad, and I said, he's here to protect you. I said, so you still want me to banish him to hell? She goes, no. But see, that's my point, is the fact that people have the misconceptions. And unfortunately, TV kind of makes them happen, because the TV is still for entertainment purposes only.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so for that sense, you know, she was like, it has to be because it's this dark shadow and all this stuff, and it made groans and stuff like that. I said, no, your dad's trying to talk to you. You know, this is the only way he can come across. You know, and he stands by his picture, and that was on her desk with a picture of him. And she always saw the shadow over there. And I said, don't you think that's him trying to show you that this shadow is this picture? She goes, oh, you know, and then the light bulb went off. But that's, you know, that's what I feel bad for people when they get into those standpoints, and that's why I want to be here to help them so they can understand. Yeah. And don't have to live with that, because most of the spirits that we have in our homes are our family members. They're there with us, caring for us, watching out for us. They're our spirit guides. I mean, we hear noises here all night. We were watching a movie the other night, and across our wall in the kitchen, this huge shadow just walked across. Nobody's in the kitchen, but there's a huge shadow walking across the wall. Well, there's spirits in this house. I mean, there's more spirits here because of me, but you know what I mean? That's just normal place in everybody's house.
Right. You know, just and you do not want to be damning your family to hell, people, so watch out what you ask for.
Exactly.
I know there's some of them we want to do that too, but you know we can't go there.
You're still family.
Anyway, Scotty, we want to thank you for joining us tonight. It's been an awesome show. I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank all of our listeners in chat for joining us. We're just about out of time here. We're fixing to cut out for Todd Sheets. He is coming in with Night Watch. I suggest you stay tuned and listen to it. It's a great show, and we want to thank everybody for joining us tonight here on Jackalope Radio. And Anita, thank you for co-hosting with me, and we will see all you guys next week. Be good.
Parachallenged Radio is a Jackalope Radio production, simulcast on ASPRN. Join us in the chat at www.parachallengedradio.com, or you can go to jackaloperadio.com in the shows area and click on the Parachallenged Radio banner.